the number one mission at the end of the day, through love and through helping people both physically and spiritually, the number one mission of a shliach is to be, it's a 24/7 job to bring, connect souls to themselves, to their Jewishness, to the Torah, to belief in God, and to godliness in general.
Yeah, I would also say, just to add to that, like the philosophy of Hasidus and what drives this whole thing really can also be summed up in a different word, which is also a very common word, which is called pnimiyut, which means to see, not to see things on the surface, but to see it on a deeper level.
You are listening to the JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levi.
And we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the JP Show. It's me again, together with Rabbi Levi. How are you doing?
Doing okay.
It's summertime. You feel the summer in the air?
Definitely is getting hotter and emptier, I must say. People are emptying
Empty
out,
air.
going
Someone told me
away.
last night at a shiur, I was doing a shiur with young adults last night, and the guy in the workforce, he told me he thinks he's got the feeling that in Sydney, from Melbourne Cup Day onwards, people are already checking out, which makes it a very long summer, I gotta tell you. It's like November, December, and January. But at Bina, we're not checking out. We're here. We're marching on and continuing, hopefully, to grow and learn and inspire. So before you tell me what we're going to talk about today, I'm just going to ask everyone, wherever you're listening to this podcast, please subscribe, and wherever appropriate, write us a review so we can spread further than we are already. And what are we talking about today?
So it's been a tough week, I must say. It's been a very tough year. This seems to be happening quite often, but this week was particularly tough. I'm sure everyone has seen the news about the Chabad shliach in the UAE by Tzvi Kogan, of blessed memory. He was murdered by terrorists.
Just for those who don't 100% know the story, was a shliach in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. He was actually kidnapped, driven off, and then they don't know all the details, but it was obviously a terrorist attack, and he was murdered. And his body was taken now to Israel, and
He's
the
just been
funeral just
buried.
took place.
I was actually just watching some live feed from his funeral, and it's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching anytime this happens, anytime a Jew is killed just for being Jewish, as has been happening over the past year. But this had this particular element to it that he was a shliach. He was there for the purpose of spreading Judaism and Torah learning, and he particularly had a focus on kashrut. He opened up a kosher supermarket actually to enable people to be able to have kosher, and he filled in with people and everything that a Chabad shliach does. So I thought we would dedicate today's podcast to him. We're not going to talk too much about him specifically. We both didn't know him, although I mean, we're not that far removed actually from his wife. We know people that know her. My cousin is married to her cousin. We know people that knew them, so it's quite close to home. But I want to talk about the concept of shlichut in general, and this whole idea of people being sent around the world, us included. Me and you are shluchim here in Sydney, and what does that mean? What exactly is the mission, and what is the relevance to everyone? Because the truth is, everyone is a shliach. Like, hopefully, we'll discuss.
In fact, I think it's quite appropriate. Well, first of all, dedicating it to Rabbi Kogan, who was a shliach, an emissary of Chabad, and also that we happen to be in the week where in New York, there's the, although we're not traveling this year to it, but the in New York, there's the international yearly conference of shluchim, where thousands of Chabad shluchim and emissaries come from all parts of the world.
It's an amazing experience. I mean, we've
Yeah,
been there
it is.
many
I've been a
times.
number of times, so have you, and it's I mean, that's actually a real celebration. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit different, and I'm sure that Rabbi Kogan's death will be very much featured there. But at the same time, it's a real celebration of of what the shluchim have accomplished and the explosion of the spreading of Judaism in so many different ways that has taken place since the movement of shlichus, so to speak, began.
Yeah, and one of the things you do feel there also is this, you know, every shliach is in their own place and very spread out and all over the world, but you definitely, when you go there, you feel like you're part of this big, almost army, this family of people that are on the same mission. And that's why this one particularly hurt. It was someone from our family, so from the same doing the same thing that we're doing. So it was definitely definitely a very painful thing. Yeah, so I thought we would just discuss this idea. What does it mean to be a shliach? So let's start from the beginning, actually. Maybe you can give us, as someone who is a little bit more of an older shliach than I am, who's been in this mission for longer, what is the origin of this whole idea of a shliach? Everyone knows, you know, you land up in a place and in India somewhere, there'll be a shliach there. What does the word shliach actually mean, and what is it, and how
You
does it
know, so I
all?
think we have to go back to the beginning, really, of how it all began, right? So, Chabad is a movement for a few hundred years since the Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Lviv, the founder of Chabad and the author of the Tanya. Sorry, I just want to. You know, it's a movement. It's a Hasidic philosophy. It's always been very deeply involved in the learning and the learning of the esoteric part of Torah, as well as connecting with other people. It's taken its inspiration from the Baal Shem Tov, the idea of Ahavat Yisrael, loving other people no matter who they are, understanding the Jewish soul, the strength of the Jewish soul, and so on. But when you know, and reaching out, but when and spreading and spreading spreading the teachings and so on. But the whole idea of spreading the teachings took on a whole new level, especially when Chabad came to America. Which was a different part of the world, a more secular part of the world. The previous Rebbe already had a few, not many, but a few shluchim that he sent to different places to teach and so on. And then when the Rebbe, you know, our Rebbe, the Lubavitch Rebbe, when he took over in 1950, it didn't take that long until he actually started to launch this idea of spreading out to the whole world. And it was in its time, it was actually very revolutionary. Just to give you an example, I know that what like older parents found it very hard, and this concept of telling someone to uproot from their place where they are and go to a foreign land, a foreign country, just to teach, because the Rebbe really believed that we're getting closer to Mashiach, and we really need to bring people and connect people to their Jewishness and to their soul and to Judaism and to learning. Right? Each place in its own way, each person in his own way. But it that was the idea. And he started this idea of really encouraging people. And in the very early years, like, you know, the famous one where Rabbi Gorelick went to Italy and eventually Rabbi Sudak went to England, and there were different people. There was a
I'm
shliach in
talking about here in the
Japan.
1950s. There wasn't exactly
You're talking
WhatsApp
about the
back then.
1950s. It
Yeah.
was huge to travel there and then to come back. You know, Rabbi Groner in Melbourne, for example, they came very early on, the 50s, the beginning of the 60s. It was a revolutionary thing, a complete revolutionary thing, just sending people, young couples, to, right? And then it started to spread, and then the concept of a Chabad house started to spring up, and there was Chabad houses all over the world, and this started to go. Now, when I was getting married, right, every few years they would give it like another push. When I was getting married, it was 1987, and before I got married, there was a series of talks with the Rebbe, where the Rebbe repushed and relaunched, you can almost say, not relaunched, but re-strengthened this whole idea of shlichus and said, you know, go out, conquer the world in a spiritual way, and that's what you got to do, and this is the mission, and really mobilizing this whole idea, right? To the point, I'll tell you that when I got married, I actually thought that, you know, it was the tradition in Chabad that after we get married, we actually stay where we are for a while. We stay to learn. I learned in Kollel, which is like a, you know, tertiary yeshiva, but that you do it as married, you get a little stipend. It wasn't much, but you get. I mean, and you learn before to be, you know, to create a good foundation at the beginning of marriage before you go out. I thought, well, the Rebbe is so pushing this now, and it seems such an urgency that I went to my mentor, my mashpia, and every person, the Rebbe used to encourage every person to have a spiritual mentor. And I said, well, maybe I should skip the kollel, maybe just get married and just find a place and go. And he said, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. This foundation is really important. So I did learn in kollel first. And then the idea of Australia came up, and you know, I had a connection to Australia before we went in. So that So and all my friends, I mean, this was like the thing, you know, we're gonna try and have that merit. We try to be part of the Rebbe's army, so to speak, and try to do that different activities. I came here first, I was teaching, and then eventually started Bina, but everyone was going. And then it just started to keep going. And then the whole idea of the 1987 and 1988, particularly the whole idea of the International Conference of Shluchim began, that Rebbe encouraged it and spurred it on, and that Rebbe would speak for them. And it was just like a real energy and a real mobilization. What is fascinating, what is absolutely fascinating, is that people in 1994, when the Rebbe passed away, there were the naysayers that said, well, this is it, you know, this was a nice idea, and it is what it is, and it's gonna taper down. And actually it picked up an amazing energy and steam that's unbelievable. The more shluchim, more emissaries that have gone out on shlichus after 1994 than before. It just has taken on you know, the Rebbe's inspiration and the Rebbe's pushing. Just it was a not just a pushing sort of in a charismatic way. It was more like a spiritual thing. It has kept going, and it just motivated people who are connected, who learn the Rebbe's talks and understand what the Rebbe wanted in terms of our mission, just to grow. And today it's just absolutely huge, thousands and thousands. So that's the
So,
background and synopsis.
yeah, that's the background. So, what is the philosophy? Meaning to say, it's not just people that are nice people, and then you want to go help other people. I mean, that's obviously part of it. But as you mentioned, the Chabad movement has been going on for a few hundred years. It didn't start 80 years ago. Is it like a different movement all of a sudden? Is it the same thing? Is it a continuation of what was before? What drives this movement, this idea of going all over the whole world?
So I'll say two
Basically.
things. First of all, let's go back to the Baal Shem Tov. If we can go back even further. In other words, Baal Shem Tov's famously, the Baal Shem Tov, when he would sleep or pray, sometimes his neshama would, it's known Kabbalistically, his soul would soar in the higher heavens. And one time, there's a famous thing where the first night of Baal Shem Tov, he said his neshama paid a visit to heaven, whatever that means. I was never
We've never
remotely
experienced
connected
it.
to such an experience. But he had what's called Aliyat HaNeshama. His neshama sort of departed his body while he was still alive, kind of thing. And his neshama traveled all the way upwards to the place in heaven where the soul of Mashiach is present. And he famously said to Mashiach, quoting a verse from Tanakh, he said to Eimasai Ka'ati Mar, when are you coming? And the Baal Shem Tov said that the Mashiach answered him, when your wellsprings will be spread out chutzah, when they'll be spread out wide and far. Famously, what's not so famous is that the Baal Shem Tov, this is recorded in a letter that his brother-in-law wrote, that he heard this from the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov said that he actually had pain from that response because he knew it was going to take a while. That's a very telling thing. And it did take a while, and it hopefully not going to take too much longer, but because it took time for the Kabbalistic and esoteric teachings to be spread out, you know, amongst regular people, amongst communities. And it started spreading out that way. But then it took on, as each generation came out, it started to spread more and more. For example, the idea is, you know, that the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, made the teachings of Hasidus much more accessible to much more people than it was before. It's very deep stuff. The previous Rebbe started to have Hasidus printed in English and other languages to make it more accessible. And then the Rebbe came along and really revolutionized it and said, same idea, but now we're going to take it, not just the teachings, but even the living it and what it stands for and the teachings of it. And it's got to be just made completely accessible to everyone. Everyone, all Jews. And that means not only everyone, but everywhere. And that means that inspiration of that comes from the teachings have to propel a sort of a deep desire for us, for everyone to not just people who are officially shluchim, but everyone. Just that should be the mission of every Jew who's engaged and involved to really spread and teach and inspire others to learn, but also to live by that learning, to do another mitzvah, and then we spoke about the value of the one-time mitzvah and putting on tefillin, eating matzah on Pesach, and of course to get people more and more engaged as much as they possibly can, right? So it's really the same philosophy, just taken to a whole new level. And one of the ideas also is that it's done, I think, in the context of the deep love you have for another Jew. It's not just a task, not just because, you know, you happen to be a follower of the Rebbe and he says you got to go out, but You wanted people to have their own sort of to internalize that concept that you've got to really help other people. And that's why I think we find a sort of like almost a combination of what shluchim do all over the world. You often say, oh, I needed to go to vacation in Thailand. You know, the Chabad guys there, they're amazing. They have restaurants and they kosher food. And it was just so incredibly amazing. And they're there for you. And that's, you know, that's true. And that has to be definitely part of it. Part of it is helping another person physically, help another person if they need food, if they're stuck. I mean, there's some, especially in remote areas, if they need a meal for Shabbos, whatever the case is. But I always think of Avraham Avinu, right? You know, Avraham Avinu, we know, was known for his hospitality. And he really, you know, yeah, he was in the desert and people needed a place. He was the first Thailand shliach, you know, like the one in India. For sure. You want to meet, right? I mean, last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago, he was running after people traveling in the desert. Please, I'll prepare you a delicious meal, right? But the Medrash always says that we know Avraham Avinu also brought thousands of people under the banner of monotheism, teaching them that there's one God and bring them closer to God and the belief in God. And he did it together. He would bring people and he would be hospitable to people and he would help them no matter what. But it also came with the idea that he would then talk to them and discuss them and connect them and show the love, but then also show the beauty of connecting to God. Yeah. So if you're traveling to Thailand, you need a Shabbos meal for sure. You know, the Chabad Shliach will help you. But it's not just about that. The number one mission at the end of the day, through love and through helping people both physically and spiritually, the number one mission of a shliach is to be, it's a 24/7 job to connect souls to themselves, to their Jewishness, to the Torah, to belief in God, and to godliness in general.
Yeah, I would also say, just to add to that, like the philosophy of Hasidus and what drives this whole thing really can also be summed up in a different word, which is also a very common word, which is called pnimiyut, which means to see, not to see things on the surface, but to see it on a deeper level, right? And we look at this world on the surface, it looks like a place which is devoid of godliness, especially far-flung places, especially places where there's no yeshiva, there's no Torah centers already there, and there's no flourishing communities. But what the Baal Shem Tov taught, and then the Alter Rebbe, and then all the Rabbeim taught was to look deeper and to see, you know, the one God, the one reality, who's the one reality, who's the reality everywhere. He's not only a reality in cities where there's already established communities. He's the reality everywhere. There's nothing else beside for him. Is a very common is one of the foundations of Hasidic teachings. And we're able to see that. And what that goes together with is also how you look at another Jew. When you look at a Jew who's on the surface looks like they're very far and then they're nothing and they have no connection, I mean, there's so many examples for this, but one example that comes to mind, it's some, you know, the someone once told the Rebbe that he's asking, it was actually someone from Sydney. He's asking a blessing for his brother, and he used the terminology who has no connection to Yiddishkeit, which is the wrong thing to tell the Rebbe. And the Rebbe right away responded, he has a very big connection to Yiddishkeit. He's a Bena, you know, he's a son of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He has a soul. He just a little bit of dust covering it over. You have to uncover it, right? Which that statement is really what it's all about. It's all about uncovering the depth, seeing the godliness in everything, and especially in every Jew.
Correct. And it's
And
the only way that is supposed to work is that when you inspire someone, you teach someone, it's not because you look down on them, God forbid, it's on the contrary.
yeah.
Because you understand their value, you understand what really is beneath the surface, that there's a beautiful, pure soul just waiting. And like you say, like no place is devoid and not no no person. There's so many stories of people who thought that they were just stuck in far-flung areas and they had no connection to anything Jewish. And then suddenly the shliach shows up and, you know, so many stories how it evolved and they got engaged, you know, they became more engaged and so on.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned before it's a 24/7 job. So I mean, it's true, right? It's not a job. I would say it's not a job. It's a mission. It's a different. Like, what did you mean by that?
So, I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I think all dedicated rabbis are a bit like that. You're serving a community and you're serving a place, you're dedicated. But one thing that is, I think, a little bit unique about the shlichus thing is that it's not a career in any way. Now, obviously, you know, people have to take care of themselves and all that, but it really is not a career. I mean, it's a calling. It's something you do and you're dedicated to. And also, even though people sometimes, for, you know, all sorts of circumstances will move and change their mission and maybe go to a different place, but that's not the default. It's not like you don't go to a place, I'll go to this place for a few years, then when I'm more experienced, I'll look for a bigger place. You are where you are. Where you are sent or where you land up, that's where you're supposed to be. And you dedicate it to that. It's not a, there's no sort of career path. You try to expand and grow wherever you are, and sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's easier, but that's what you do. And also there's not like it's not like you're always on call. I think that the mindset is you're always on call. Now, that doesn't mean you don't take a holiday. It doesn't mean you don't the rest. I mean, human beings, we have to take care of ourselves in order to give. But the mindset, I mean, that's what the Rebbe taught and the Rebbe wanted, especially when there was very few shluchim. For some of them, it was very difficult. They went to places that were, I mean, I'm even now, I have a friend, right? I have a friend who's a shliach in Riga. You know him, your
Actually, his
son.
son is my friend.
Son is your friend. And he was in Sydney a while ago, and I was talking to him about this, and it's so tough there. And not only so tough, even spiritually it's tough. Like sometimes it didn't go as well as he wanted it to go. And I said, and he was from the same, he's my contemporary, right? We were both in 1987. We were both heard the same talks. And that's what inspired him. Inspired him to find a place that needs a shliach. Didn't know the language. His wife didn't know the language. He'd never been there.
I
Right?
mean, I heard from his son, just to be, I mean, it could be now it's different because things are a little easier. But when he was growing up, I mean, we're very strict in Chabad to have what's called Chalav Yisrael, which means certain type, not only kosher milk, but kosher milk that was supervised by a Jew. And where he was, he just didn't have milk very often. Like, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice that people have.
And and schooling is a problem and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I have two brothers-in-law that live in places that there's no school. Now it's very now they're sophisticated. I mean, it's grown. I mean, there's a lot of sophistication that's happened since when it first started. They have a whole online school where it's like a virtual
Before
school.
COVID, by the way, the Chabad had the original Zoom
Yeah,
school.
there's pre-COVID,
That's
like
right.
an online, and they get together once in a while, these kids. Like they have friends, like they have a classroom. It's unbelievable. But okay, but it's not so easy, socially stuff, but it's but. But this is what it because but it's hard. Yes, it's hard because life is hard and to fulfill a mission is hard.
I mean, I have a very good friend who's a shliach in Barbados. There aren't many Jews there. There are Jews there. He's done amazing things there. It's unbelievable what he's achieved in the short time that he's there. He's now building a mikveh. There's no mikveh there, which is this. You know, this is it's definitely a lot of sacrifice.
I think also important to mention that also every place is different, right? Every place has its challenges. Like a lot of the challenges that your friend has in Barbados or my friend in Riga or early people we don't have in Sydney, we have infrastructure. But for example, when we first came here, not so much for you, but when we first came here, distance was a challenge. I mean, my wife, your mother, it was hard, very, very hard. It wasn't like, I grew up in South Africa and I'd already been away from home for a few years because I was learning in yeshiva. But for her, it was a real sacrifice. She'd never gone away from home. She'd never gone away from her family. And we came here, no family, no siblings. It was a difficult thing. It was a difficult decision in a way. But it was clear at that time, like you didn't say no, because that's what we did. That's what we do. And also each place different in terms of the mission. So like in certain places, it's more about you do your mission through restaurants and kosher food. Other places it's through teaching. Other places through whatever it is,
But
through a
it's all the same mission.
yes. Yeah, okay.
All the same
So like
mission.
in Sydney, we have the opportunity to do something called Bina. It might not work in every place. Barbados, I don't think, has a room for Bina. You know what I'm saying? It's like different.
Not yet, soon.
So yeah, not yet exactly. So we sort of we kind of more niche, not niche, kind of sort of focus on a specific area, but also the mission is exactly the same. It's the same concept. It's there being there for people, inspiring people, and teaching and spreading and
So
inspiring.
this is actually not the first shliach who was murdered through a terrorist attack. This has happened before, unfortunately, many years ago. Many of you will remember in Mumbai, India, there was a terrible terrorist attack that killed thousands of people, but they especially targeted the Chabad house,
And a few
Rabbi
rabbis there also
Zevi
visiting. It
Holzberg.
was a yeah.
In fact, actually, this shliach is actually related to them, which is extremely eerie. So what's the response? What's the response to such thing happening? I mean, it's a big punch. It's a big blow. We definitely feel it. It's very painful. But I mean, we don't have an option to give
No, the
up, right? I mean, in
response, the
general,
response.
Jews, as we've discussed many times, in general, Jewish people don't have an option to give up, but especially.
So yeah, the response is just an extension and an expansion of the response that we have as a Jewish people altogether. That is, we never give up on the country. Our response is we respond with more. which, by the way, is already happened, even in this case. I mean,
Yeah.
just a few hours ago, the shliach in Dubai, who's kind of the head shliach there, announced and that there's going to be a building of a massive building in the memory of this Rabbi Tzvi Kogan. And they're going to probably bring more people, and then they're going to keep spreading. They're going to keep the response. We fight darkness with light,
Yeah.
and every little bit of light pushes away a lot of darkness. But can I just also, I think maybe it's important to emphasize one really important thing, right? We're talking about the idea of shlichut and being a shliach. While the Rebbe built that amazing army of shluchim, and it's still continuing and continuing generations and so on. I mean, there are now three generations of shluchim. It's like, you know, it's quite powerful. But he also used to talk about that it's not only people who go on what's called a formal shlichut, right? But actually, what he really wanted is that everyone to have the mindset, every Jew to have the mindset of being a shliach.
Yeah.
Right, we're all shliach, we're all emissaries of God, we're all emissaries of this concept, of this idea. And in fact, I think it was the previous Rebbe who said that if you know Aleph in your Aleph paper, you don't even know the base, you have an obligation to teach the Aleph to someone. Obviously, you have to learn more, and you have to learn the base and the Gimel and the Dalet, but you have to still teach. In other words, everyone has what to give, right? And everyone has to have the shliach mindset. My father, for example, wasn't an official formal shliach. Well, the Rebbe emphasized to him many times that he treated him as a shliach,
He didn't
but
have that type of
no,
vocation
he
yet.
didn't have a Chabad. In fact, he was in business, right? And yet he had a little bit of that mindset. He always tried and see how much Yiddishkeit he bring into his clients. You know, there are many, many people in business, people doing other things, whatever the case is, there's a concept of whatever I'm doing, my mission has to be that of Avraham Avinu, to how can I inspire another Jew? You have a customer who you've seen, maybe you can invite him for a Shabbos, someone you can maybe ask to do a mitzvah.
A neighbor.
I remember I was a kid, I remember it was a very I was a very young kid. I remember that there was a client of my father was in jewelry, wholesale jewelry, and it was a jeweler that was in town, and it was in the weekend or something, and my parents invited him for lunch on Sunday. My mother put on a she would she put on a beautiful lunch, and I was there. We were just eating lunch all together, and they were talking, and then throughout the conversation I learned that this person had bought a pair of tefillin because my father had encouraged him to put on tefillin, and he had actually even closed he his jeweler's shop wasn't closed on Shabbos, but his workshop was closed. He didn't work on Shabbos anymore, and I remember him saying that actually his livelihood increased. He got better than after that. But anyway, so you know these kind of things, and you know he would learn, he would give shiurim. So it's not only that people. It would be a very grave mistake to think that this is reserved for a group, even a large group of formal people, people under the formal, you know, who get paid to do a kind of thing. But it's actually much bigger than that. It's actually a mindset. It's a mindset of everyone has to take the responsibility of being responsible for all Jews that they come into contact with, and in fact, broader than that, even the world, spreading
Yeah,
goodness and kindness to the world beyond.
it's a shlichus mindset that we don't live for ourselves, that we're
Correct.
not just here floating through life, just doing the right thing, and that's it, right?
And
Everyone,
not that any of us have reached it to the ultimate. You know, we all
no,
try
it's all a
ourselves,
journey,
and
of
we have,
course,
but we
of course. And
that's the aspiration, and that's the
I think
fact.
every Jew can respond to what happened by becoming a shliach in their
Right,
mind,
right, right.
and
So especially now, if we hear something like that, the answer has to be, let me find another Jew, or let me do another mitzvah myself, and let me encourage someone else to come to a shul with me, or let's just add more light. We've got to fight. There are things that need to be done. Of course, those that have to hold the terrorist responsible will do it. There are diplomatic things to take place, and there are people that are designated to do that, and hopefully will do a good job, and they will. But we're not all in that role, nor can we be, nor should we be. But we can all do something. We can all fight back, as we should throughout this whole
I
world.
was we were at an engagement party last night, and someone made a comment to me, you know, what happened to the shliach is terrible, and I it slipped out of my mouth. I said, this is a good diversion, and then I corrected myself. I said, actually, it's not a diversion, it's a response.
Right.
Like, they destroy a home, we'll build another home. They
More homes
destroy
have been
someone
built,
who spread
more weddings,
Yiddishkeit, we'll spread Yiddishkeit.
more spirituality, more light.
Yeah, so that's the only answer. So hopefully, we only hear good news from now on, and we all strengthen ourselves to do more, to strengthen our mission of spreading goodness, kindness, godliness, and more Yiddishkeit, and just bring more light into the world.
Excellent. Have a good week, everyone, and see you next week.